I want to thank you all, every single one of you, for being faithful to be here tonight. So you could have stayed home. You could have said, oh, it's going to rain, or oh, it's going to get cold, or oh, I'd rather just sit here on the couch and watch whatever's on TV tonight. I don't know. But you chose to come. You are faithful to come, and I appreciate your faithfulness in that. As I've already said, I appreciate your faithfulness in bringing all the wonderful food. And I think one more time, you really ought to give yourself a hand for all that meal tonight. Give yourself a hand. Woohoo! Good job, good job, good job. Awesome job. Well, most of you know the drill around here. There is an outline on your table if you'd like to use it during the message. And it might be helpful to you because it may list some of the scriptures there that aren't listed on the overheads. Just to kind of recap, make sure we all realize where we've been and where we're headed. All this year, our focus on Wednesday night has been increasing our relationship with the Lord. That's been our focus this year. And the idea is that when I started in January and when I end in December, my relationship will be closer to God. That is my desire, that is my goal for myself and for you too. And I know that you guys have hooked up with that, and we've been going that direction. And one way to do that, to increase our relationship with the Lord, is through the fruit of the Spirit. And that's been our strategy this year on Wednesday night, is to study through the fruit of the Spirit, to realize that the more we grow in these spiritual fruits, as they become stronger and stronger in our lives, then what's going to happen is, and what we've seen already happening this year, is we are beginning to think and to talk and to act more like our Lord Jesus Christ. Because those fruits of the Spirit is His character. And as we study them, not just learn about them, not just hear the words and say, but then put into practice what we're learning and say, okay, how can I grow this in my life this week? We're seeing changes. I am seeing changes in my life this year, and I trust that you are too. And also, just to remind you, some of you are not always Wednesday night attenders, so let me just let you know that this year you've received a key ring. And on this key ring, you've been given a tag for every fruit that we have studied thus far. And at this moment, you have 8 tags. And if you don't have any of these items, I don't care if this is the only Wednesday night you're ever going to be here and you don't ever think you'll be back on another Wednesday night. It doesn't matter. We want you to have this because it will be a wonderful tool for you. And any of these things that you don't have, you may be missing just a card. You may not have any of this. Your ring may have got lost or whatever. At the end of the service, there's a red box up here. All of these components are in here. And help yourself, please. And for all of you that are carrying through with us this year, I'll tell you again, it is important that you have one of these by the time we reach the end of this year. So if you lost it or gave it away, whatever, please just replenish your supply because it's right up here. Well, this evening, we are going to begin looking at the fruit of faithfulness. Table leaders, in your basket or on your table somewhere, you have an envelope that says, wait to open. This is the time you may open it. And in that is your faithfulness tag. Now, I want to tell you what I'd like for your table leaders to do. When you open that, don't hand them out until I tell you, but you can open it. Table leaders, I want you to take one and give it to one of your people at your table, and I want you to speak the words to them, you are faithful. Then I want to give one to the next. I want you to speak over each person as you give them a tag. You are faithful. Now, that's going to take us a few minutes, but I want you to do that, okay? So go ahead, everybody. Open those tags up. If you don't have enough for your table, there's more up here. Table leaders, speak over your people. You are faithful. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, have we got that taken care of? I love that, hearing everybody saying out there, you are faithful, you are faithful, you are faithful. You know, it's a good thing to confess those things over ourselves and over other people. It's a good thing. And now that you have your faithfulness tag, I'm sorry? Thank you. Thank you. That was sweet of you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Then if you've got your key rings, this should be your ninth tag, I believe. And we do have one more before the end of the year that will be coming your way. And, of course, as I said, if you're missing any of this, please get them at the end of the service. You know, we have been through a lot of teaching this year. And the Lord has opened up the Word to us this year. And you may be thinking as we're passing this out and you realize, oh, my goodness, we only have one more left. Didn't it seem like way back in January it was like we'd never get there? And here it is. It's almost the end. But you know what? You also might be thinking, now, wait a minute. I don't have love down yet. Or I don't have joy or peace or patience or kindness or goodness or gentleness conquered yet. Well, that's okay. Because all of us, none of us do. And you know what? You may be thinking, it's too much. It's overwhelming. You know, you just taught us about gentleness last week. And now we're going to move on. You know, that is one reason we give you notes. It's so that you can go back and refresh yourself. And I also want to remind you, so that you don't feel so overwhelmed, that we are studying the fruit of the Spirit. And fruit has to be cultivated and developed over time. It's not something that you study it for 2 weeks and you got it. I mean, you know what I'm saying? You got it because you're born again and those things are within you, but that you're walking in it, all right? So it, really that fruit of the Spirit is almost like a set. And remember what we said at the beginning, it all stems out of love. All of these fruits stem out of love and are byproducts of love. And it's a work in progress, guys. Don't be hard on yourself. If you're one of those people that wants to conquer it and click it off, you know, before you go to the next one, don't do that because it's going to drive you crazy. So don't let it overwhelm you, but instead realize that it's a work in progress. The key is not to have learned about it and then forget it. The key is to have learned about it and to keep cultivating it. All right, so that is what we're after. And this progress is going to continue until we step over into heaven. And we shall grow every day of our life in the fruit of the Spirit. If we are teachable and willing, we will do that. But we're going to start on faithfulness. And that word faithfulness, you know, we don't hear that talked about a whole lot in public, you know, about faithfulness. That's not, it's kind of an old-fashioned word in a way. I mean, can you think of, other than in church, the last time you heard someone talk about faithfulness? You know, that's just not a word that typically comes up in normal everyday conversation these days. And in fact, about the only times we use those words is when we're talking about old things. Did you ever think about that? We hear that word when there's retirements. They were so faithful for the past 25 years, you know, faithful. And, you know, we hear those words when we talk about our old faithful dog. Are that hunk of a car you got sitting in your driveway that's been faithful all these years, that old faithful car that's still running like a top, you know, type of thing. A lot of times we'll use faithfulness kind of in the understanding of something old, something that's lasted. And that's all right. That certainly is an aspect of it. But the definition we'll be using for faithfulness as we study it the next few weeks is reliable, trustworthy, dependable, and consistent. That is faithfulness that we are going to be looking at and studying. And really, in today's society, faithfulness is a rare quality. It really is. You know, in fact, you could almost say that faithfulness is so rare, it might ought to be on the endangered species list. In fact, Proverbs 26 asks the question, who can find a faithful man? You know, good for you, Bev. I noticed Bev didn't say that. You know what? The truth of the matter is, though, it's hard to find someone you can count on. Is that not true? it's kind of difficult to find someone that you can just count on. And I like this, the Good News translation of Proverbs 26. It really hits home. It reads like this. Everyone talks about how loyal and faithful he is, but just try to find someone who really is. Ouch. Ouch. You know, we see that verse acted out in every area of our lives as we go through our lives here on this earth. You know, you just consider the area we're in right now, church. You know, a lot of people will sign up as volunteers, but guess what? You know what? Everybody doesn't show up. But it's not just in churches. It's in every avenue of our lives. A lot of people say, I'm faithful, I'll be there, you can count on me, I'm dependable. But can you really find someone who is? You know? And the Bible asks that question. So I guess there's nothing new under the sun. That was even a question they were asking back then. Proverbs 25:19 says this, like a broken tooth or a lame foot is reliance on the unfaithful in the time of trouble. That's basically saying that unreliable people are a pain. Is it not true? Have you ever been waiting on someone to come to your house to fix something and they never show up? Unreliable people are a pain. Now, sometimes there's reasons. It's like a bad toothache or a foot that's sore and hurts. It's a pain, those unreliable people. When you depend on unreliable people, you can never quite relax. You know, you've had that experience. When you've had to rely on someone, but maybe they haven't been reliable in the past, and it's like you can't quite relax because in the back of your mind, you're always wondering, is he going to let me down this time? You know, or will he come through? You know, and working with inconsistent people can be very frustrating. You experience it in every realm of your life. Everywhere you go, there you have opportunities to have dealings with inconsistent people. And it can be very frustrating to us. Now, of course, we are never that way. We never frustrate anyone, I'm sure. We'll talk about that. And that is a question, guys. Can people count on you? It's a question to ask your own self. Can people count on me? We're talking about faithfulness. We're talking about growing in faithfulness. You know, we look for faithfulness in people in all kinds of activities every single day of our life. When you think about it, we look for faithfulness. We want to see faithfulness. You know, we expect our mail carrier to faithfully bring our mail. We expect that. We expect if we give a package to the post office and we send it first class or overnight, we expect it to get there. We look for faithfulness. We expect faithfulness. We may not always get it, but we expect it. We want it. We desire it. We look for it. You know, we want our favorite restaurant to be consistent every time we walk in. We don't want them to be awful one time and, you know, perfect the next time. We want to go in and have a consistent experience, right? We look for faithfulness in every area. Even our grocery stores. How many times have I myself complained and said that I go into that store and they don't have what I want anymore on the shelf? They don't carry that item. It's frustrating when there's not a consistency in your life, you know? We want faithfulness. We look for it, we desire it, and when we find it, we covet it. You know, I've been around here. We've had to have certain people come in sometimes to do repairs on, like, an appliance or something, or, you know, and word gets around really fast to who's reliable. Word gets around really fast to who's faithful. And you call those people. Those are the ones you call, because that's what we're looking for, is faithfulness. You know, the most famous geyser in America is called Old Faithful. Old Faithful is at Yellowstone National Park. Many of you may have seen it. Guess what? It's not the biggest geyser. It's not. It's not the most impressive. It's not. It's not the most powerful. But what it is, it's the most faithful. It is the most faithful. It makes it world famous because of its dependability. It will go off at the right time every time. And that's what we, you know, it's wonderful. We love that sort of thing. that geyser, it runs like clockwork. It's dependable, and people appreciate dependability, even in a geyser. They appreciate dependability. And if we appreciate dependability in a geyser, we certainly appreciate dependability in other people's lives, and they appreciate it in our life. We're talking about faithfulness tonight. So if faithfulness is so rare and it's so hard to find these days, then why should we bother to work so hard to become faithful? Nobody else seems to care. You know, that would be like saying to ourselves, no one else is being loving, so why should I? Or no one else is being patient, so why should I? Doesn't that sound really immature? It does, doesn't it? That's childish. Yeah. And it is. It's immature. And it certainly is not the attitude that Jesus Christ laid before us that we're supposed to follow. He laid before us an example of excellence, and he expects us to be imitators of him and to follow after him in every area, including faithfulness. So tonight we're going to look at two reasons of why you should be faithful. Why am I even here? Why should I even take my time to try to grow this spirit of faithfulness, okay? And we're going to look at those two reasons, and I kind of think of these two reasons in two different ways. One of them I think of as a more practical reason, and one of them I think of as a more spiritual reason. Now, before we get started on this first reason, which will be the practical, let me ask you, do you need to stand up and do an exercise? All right, I'm not asking you. Everybody stand up. I can see some lasagna kicking in. Stretch, bend, twist, whatever it takes. Do a little something there. It might help you out. Couldn't hurt. Hallelujah. Don't want you to miss a thing, you guys. All right. You can be seated when you're ready. Yeah. All right. Now maybe we can all focus for a few more minutes, including myself, all right? All right, everybody. The first reason that we should be faithful is what I call the practical reason, and that is, number one, God rewards faithfulness. How many wants to be rewarded? What about the rest of you? You don't like rewards? How many want to be rewarded? I thought so. Yeah, okay. That's good. Well, Proverbs 28:20 says, a faithful man will abound with blessings. Woohoo! Somebody said, that's mine. Yeah, it is, because you're faithful. You're faithful. We need to understand that faithfulness gets a reward. But I want you also to understand this. Unfaithfulness will be penalized. Yeah, that got you listening, didn't it? See, unfaithfulness doesn't just not get a reward. Unfaithfulness gets penalized. We're going to talk about that tonight. Let's look at some examples from the Bible so that I can show you what I'm talking about. Faithfulness gets rewarded. Unfaithfulness gets penalized. Here we go. Adam. Way back at the beginning, back in Genesis. He was created and he was given the job to be the faithful manager of the Garden of Eden. We know what happens here, you know. When he became unfaithful in his responsibilities, he did not carry out his responsibilities as he was supposed to. He was unfaithful with his responsibilities. Then what he had was taken from him. When he became unfaithful, what he had was taken from him. And we know that to be true because Adam and Eve were banished from the garden. It was no longer theirs to have and theirs to enjoy. And it was all because Adam did not faithfully do his task, his duty. There was a penalty. Let's look at another example in the Old Testament. Consider Saul, who had been God's chosen king for the Israelites. But when he proved himself unfaithful to that calling, the Lord took that anointing from him and placed it upon David. He said, if Saul is not going to be faithful in what I have called him to, I'm going to find somebody who will be. He said, this young shepherd boy is going to be more faithful. Saul was penalized. He lost what he had been given. And it was because he did not faithfully perform the calling that God had laid on his life. Okay, that's Old Testament. Let's look at the New Testament. Let's consider the parable in Matthew 25, which I'm sure we'll be looking at off and on in the next couple of weeks. But for tonight, I didn't put it in your notes, of course, because it's quite a long passage to take up that space with. But I do want to look at that. Matthew 25. I'm going to go ahead and take the time to read through that, and I will try to read through it pretty quickly just to make sure we all understand the situation and what's going on here, all right? Matthew 25, 14 through 30. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of these servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents, but look, I have gained 5 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things, and I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also, who had been given 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. And the Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things, and I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. And then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. And look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. We'll look a little further at that in a minute. But this New Testament example is showing us, we see the story. And we also see that the 1 servant that only received the 1 talent, the bottom line of this is that he had been unfaithful with his master's goods. He did not faithfully perform for his master. And he had been unfaithful with his Lord's good. And the thing we want to look at today at this parable is the response of the Lord to that unfaithful servant. And it's really a spiritual warning for us to pay attention to what the Lord replies to him. And that is in verse 28 and 29. This is what the Lord said to the man who only had the 1 talent. The Lord said, take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which has 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he has. Now, here's the deal that we want to look at in this. There's a spiritual principle operating here. We saw it in Adam. We saw it in Saul. We see it in this parable that Jesus gave us. It's a spiritual principle that shows us that everyone who has been faithful will receive more. Everybody say, I'm faithful. I'm faithful. According to the word, you shall receive more. But he who has been unfaithful, here's the deal, will lose even what he has taken from him and given to the ones who are faithful. His goods were taken and given to someone else who would use them wisely and faithfully for the kingdom of the master. Faithfulness has its reward, but unfaithfulness does carry a penalty. You know, you can take that, and I don't have time to expound on different ideas from that, but you know, some of us have been given gifts and talents, and we have basically refused to use them. Or been too busy, we think, to use them. Or haven't cultivated them. It could very well be possible that you could lose some of those things. If you're given to teaching ministry, you know you have a gift of teaching that you operate in, but yet you don't because you're busy, you've got life, you've got work, you've got kids. You don't have time to dig into the Word and to sort it out and to work on it. You know, that's been the story. That gift isn't being helpful to your master. And he will not honor that because you have not honored him in it, or whatever it may be. This is just a reminder to us that not only does faithfulness have its reward, but when we are unfaithful in things, we may actually suffer some penalties and some loss in our life. Not because that's what God wants, but because we have not been faithful. And, you know, you may use that scripture about, well, I thought the callings of the Lord were without, recompense. And that is true. It is. I do believe that when we come to a place and we say, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me, I know this is my gift, I know this is what you've called me to do, I shall do it, it will be there for you to step right into. I do believe that. But if you're not using it for the kingdom of God, it's not doing the master any good in you. So you're not going to receive the rewards that go along with that faithfulness to it because you're not being faithful. Anyway, Jesus, you know, says that one day, the Bible tells us that one day God's going to judge us. And, you know, that judgment's not really going to be about your ability or what your intentions were. You know, I meant to, Lord. It's not about that. A lot of that is really going to be keyed into your faithfulness. Were you faithful to do what I told you to do? That's what the Lord wants to know. God is going to judge us and reward us according to our faithfulness. Have we accomplished our purpose and pursued our purpose that he gave us on the earth? Have we been faithful to that calling? And those are the things that he most wants to know and wants to reward us for. You know, being a faithful person, as we said, has its reward. Faithfulness has its rewards. There's a few scriptures listed on your outline. I'll read through them quickly. These are just a few of the promises that have to do with people who are faithful. As a person who is faithful, these are yours, all right? Proverbs 28:20, we already read, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. Psalms 31:23, oh, love the Lord, all you his saints, for the Lord preserves the faithful. That means he keeps you. He watches over you. That's a reward of being faithful. Psalms 101:6, the Lord says, my eyes shall be on the faithful of the land. Faithful people have God's attention. I'm telling you, he watches for them, and he watches over them. It says it right there in the Word. Matthew 25:21, thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. That's a reward for faithfulness. Faithfulness in whatever you've got to do with your hand right now will bring the rewards for you down the road, and it will promote you. 1 Timothy 1:12 says, he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. You have a desire to minister more for the Lord, or perhaps even step into some type of a full-time ministry. It all is going to hinge on your faithfulness. Because I was faithful, he counted me faithful, he put me into the ministry. It's not because of how much Bible college you've gotten under your belt. It's not because of how much time you pray or how many hours you spend in the Word, even though all those things are wonderful. But what it does hinge upon is your faithfulness. And then he will, when he sees that faithfulness, he will know that he can trust you with a ministry. And he, that's one of his points that he looks for. Revelation 2:10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Faithfulness has rewards for us. That's the number one reason I'm encouraging you tonight to come with me and learn how to become a more faithful person, because number one, it's got rewards. Hallelujah. And unfortunately, on the other hand, if we aren't being faithful, there could be some penalties involved. So let's go with the reward part, all right? The second reason that I want to present to you tonight about why you should stick with me the next 2 weeks and find out how to increase in faithfulness is what I would call maybe a little bit more of the spiritual side. We should be faithful because God is faithful. You know, that ought to be enough reason right there. The rewards are just side things. God is faithful. Psalms 33:4 says, the Lord is faithful in all he does. All he does involves faithfulness. There is no unfaithfulness in our God. There is none. It is not part of his makeup. And of course, Ephesians 5:1 tells us, as followers and believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, be imitators of God, like we were his dear children, because we are. We want to be like our Father God, and he is faithful. So that in itself is enough reason to want to pursue this. God wants you to be like him in character. He wants you to be faithful because he demonstrates his faithfulness to us constantly. And he does so that we can learn to imitate it and to learn. Actually, our Father God is probably undoubtedly the best example of faithfulness that you could possibly come up with. Faithfulness. He's just that. Lamentations 3:22-23 says this. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Let's stop right there. Have there been some times where God could have just said, hey, I'd like to just write you off? You know, it's his mercy that we're not just consumed. Hallelujah for his mercy. Because his compassions fail not. Hallelujah. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. God's faithfulness is great. His faithfulness to us is great. Absolutely. You know, some of the scriptures we've got listed on your outline again, I'll read through them very quickly about how great God's faithfulness is. Psalms 36:5, your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. It's so big. Psalms 37:3, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Feed on his faithfulness. He's faithfulness. He's got so much faithfulness, he can feed all of us with his faithfulness and still be faithful. You know, he's full of that faithfulness. Psalms 89:8, O Lord, God of hosts, who is mighty like you, O Lord? Your faithfulness also surrounds you. When you consider just the universe itself and what a demonstration of God's faithfulness that is, that he created this all way back when, and it is still functioning the way he created it to function. The planets are still in the universe. The stars are still out there. The sun's still in place. Planet Earth hasn't been burnt up yet. Faithfulness. Faithfulness surrounds him. It's everywhere, everywhere, because everything he created it with faithfulness, and it's full of faithfulness. Psalms 119:90, your faithfulness endures to all generations. You establish the earth, and it abides. His faithfulness, every generation, from the beginning to however long we go on this earth, is going to be aware and have a witness that God is faithful. He is faithful to every generation. 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. That's shouting material right there. He is so faithful that he said you can be a child of God. And he's not fickle. He's not unfaithful to say at one time, you know what, I don't think you should be in here anymore. We're going to kick you out. Or I don't like what you did yesterday. That was not nice. So you know what, you're not part of my family anymore. He's not unfaithful. He's faithful. His faithfulness is what holds us into his family. He said it. That settles it, and it's forever. It's eternal. His faithfulness is forever. So, you know, God is and always has been faithful. And one thing that we see the word in through the word is he's faithful to his covenant. He had a covenant. He has a covenant with the people of Israel. And Deuteronomy 7:9 says, "Therefore know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments." All through the Old Testament, we see his faithfulness. We see his faithfulness really illustrated through his relationship with the people of Israel. We see it throughout the Old Testament of how he was so faithful, because time and time and time again, the Israelites rejected, disobeyed, and turned their back on God. Read it. It's in there. Time and time again. And yet, time and time again, God forgave them and accepted them back. Why? Because he was faithful to his covenant, faithful to his word for all generations. He'll not change that. And we, as followers of Jesus Christ today, we have an even better covenant, a new covenant with God Almighty. And you know what? We can sometimes like to think that we're different, but we're not, because time and time again, modern people, even Christians, reject him, disobey his word, ignore him. And yet, according to 1 John 1:9, if we just come to him and repent, he's faithful, 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 and just to forgive us all our sins and to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. He keeps his covenant. He is keeping his covenant with you. He keeps his covenant with me. He will not break that covenant because he is faithful, Lord God. I have to tell you, for quite a number of years now, to me personally, the most compelling attribute of God is his faithfulness. I am amazed by the concept of his faithfulness. I've always been awestruck by the scripture, 2 Timothy 2:13. Every time I think about it, every time I read it, it amazes me. And it just simply says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. And that's just telling us that even when men, even when Sherry is not faithful, God still remains faithful to me. You know why? Because he can't help it. Because it's who he is. He can't deny himself. It's who he is. He can't help it to be faithful to me, even when I might fail him. He's still faithful to me. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing when you think about it. And really tonight, all I want to think about is why we need to become more faithful, walk in that fruit of faithfulness. And also, to just think about that amazing concept of how faithful he is to you personally. See, only you know the road you've walked over all the years you've lived, whether a few years or a lot of years. Only you know how many times the Lord stood by you and was faithful, when you might have, in the natural, not deserved it, but yet he remained faithful to you. The number one reason why we should become people of faithfulness is because our God is faithful. and we shall be like him. It's a wonderful thing. Now, you know, I don't know about you tonight, but there, as I said, there has been times that I have been faithless or unfaithful. And I have a feeling you could say that too. But tonight, what I want you to consider and to think about personally, some of you might be here tonight and you might be already thinking to yourself, you don't understand. I don't deserve God's faithfulness tonight. You don't know. I don't deserve his faithfulness. And some of you may be here and you may be in that spot, and I want to tell you the truth. You're right. You don't deserve his faithfulness. I don't either. But he still gives it. He still gives it to you. Tonight, right here, in this place, he is still giving you faithfulness. Mary Jo is going to come. If you come on up, Mary Jo, and she's going to sing a song that I've requested that she sing. Listen to the words and just let them minister to you. I just want you to be ministered tonight concerning the faithfulness of God to you and that great gift and that great mercy that he gives us through his faithfulness. Bless the Lord. Well, would you bow your head, close your eyes for a moment? Because tonight we're starting in faithfulness. If you tonight just want to say between you and the Lord, Father, I'm so sorry that I've been unfaithful. Whatever area that may be, I don't know. I don't care. He knows. You know. And you want to just ask forgiveness for that tonight, and you want to say, Lord, I just take your faithfulness. I ask for forgiveness of my unfaithfulness, and I thank you so much for your faithfulness to me. If that's you, will you just raise your hand? Everybody's eyes is closed. Just raise your hand up real quick and put it back down. That's fine. I just want to know who I'm praying for in particular tonight. Yes, 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 yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Anybody else? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Yes, yes. Thank you. One more time. Just want to make sure I see your hand so that I can pray for you in my heart specifically. Thank you. Yes. Thank you. All right. As I pray, you pray also and talk with the Father. Father, you saw every one of these hands, Lord God. Lord, their heart has been pricked tonight because they feel convicted because of an area of unfaithfulness that they've been involved in. Father God, we all slide down that slope every now and then. But Lord, I thank you for the Holy Spirit that convicts us and says, hey, there it is. Let's take care of that right there. Because we'll get that taken care of tonight and we can go forward. Father, I thank you as they're talking to you themselves. I thank you that they come before you tonight, repentant, asking for your forgiveness. And I thank you, Father, that at this very moment, they're forgiven in Jesus' name. Gone. Gone. God didn't remember it. It's not there anymore. But instead, just allow his faithfulness to envelop you because he's saying to you tonight, my dear child, I am here and I am your faithful Father God. And we'll walk this walk together. And Father, I thank you tonight that you begin to start us with a clean slate. Lord, we know we're not going to be perfect in every moment of every year, every day on this earth. There will be times when we fall into unfaithfulness. But what we do desire is the Holy Spirit, that you continue to teach us, and that we continue to be open and willing to hear from you. And that when we do fall into unfaithfulness, that we become aware of it, and that we change and make a correction, and we repent and get forgiveness, and we go on and we say, I am faithful. I have the character of faithfulness within me. I will walk on. And I thank you, Lord, for that, because you're going to teach us that and remind us of that these next few weeks, that it's not an idea of trying to run a perfect race. It's the idea of running the race and staying on course. And Father, I thank you that you are going to teach us as we go forward how to become more faithful in our walk to you and for you, Father. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been a production of Cornerstone Church in Grove, Oklahoma. For more information about Cornerstone, you can call 918-786-6164 or send an email to info@cornerstonechurchofgrove.com. Thanks for listening.